we already got the content right now. Okay. So we can just start anytime.
Happy May! It's graduation season.
Wow.
Everyone knows. And
actually, in California, they graduate in
June. Yeah, New York too. But in most colleges, it's usually end of May.
Really?
So, usually. But there are a lot of people going off to college this season or also graduating college because I believe this year was the baby boom year, the graduating class.
What's that?
The graduating class was a baby boom year, which means like a lot of babies were born that year. Oh. So there are a lot of people graduating this year. Okay. And I was wondering, you know, this economy is getting worse and worse. And is college really worth it? It's so expensive these days.
I don't think I should be the one who's answering that question because I didn't go to college because...
Me too.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. When I was in college, at that time, people were saying, like, a bachelor is worth nothing. It's the equivalent of a high school diploma. And so if you really want to do something, you have to go further on into...
Post-graduation
studies. Mm-hmm. And so you either go for master's, doctorate, or whatever, and then you can actually do stuff. So you're not only looking at quote-unquote college education, you're also talking about postgraduate studies as well.
And honestly, I don't know how many people actually go to college for the sake of education.
That's been a burden for me because it's like, At the end of it all, what are you actually waiting for? When you go for a job, what are you actually trying to see? What do they look for? Not your qualifications or not what you can actually do.
Like
your high school diploma, or not high school diploma, but what school did you go to? What kind of paper can you give to us to show us that you're qualified, when in reality they should be checking, hey, do you have the experience or do you have the knowledge?
True.
Yeah, but anyhow.
I mean, the question got in my head because I was reading the news, and on Yahoo Finance it says that college tuition is just the beginning. And there was a lady who was saying her last college payment was like winning the lottery because there's just so much loans that people have to go through.
A lady who was saying that?
Yeah.
You mean like
a mom?
So she paid all her college loans when she became a mom.
No, for her daughter.
But
it took several. It took several years.
Okay.
And also, this wasn't recent, but New York Times also did a report on this, and they were saying economy is so bad that that college isn't really worth it because the results in the end is not worth it either. Like if you look at medical school these days.
Yeah, actually, I'm wondering even. I don't know how many people actually go into the field that they actually study after they graduate.
I
don't know, maybe you might, if you have some time, you might be able to do some research. But from my experience, what I've seen is that majority of the people that I know who graduated from a college with a certain degree, they don't go into the field that they actually studied for.
Like my dad was engineering major, but he's a teacher right now.
Yeah.
About engineering.
Or even like, I know of this one person, she was she studied for biology. Yeah, she's a stay-at-home mom. Another good friend of mine, she went to Georgia Tech and some really hard kind of chemistry stuff. And right now she's a photographer. So all of that education, what did it really end up going into?
Yeah. Wait, so like all the stress, not even just talking about the money, because like I'm pretty sure that, you know, we stress out because of the school stuff. So all the stress and all the like effort and time and all that kind of just down in the toilet.
When I hear stuff like that, it's kind of like,
yeah.
I mean,
I remember.
If you like go through 8 years of medical school and you end up just being like a stay-at-home mom, I sometimes wonder, like, don't you ever feel like you wasted your time?
Go ahead.
I think it does add to somewhat of what you need, but it might be, it does help you in some daily life things. Like, I don't think it's like totally necessary. going through all that stress, all that time spending on studying, when basically you're not going to even use half of the things you learned.
Well, you know, I have to make a disclaimer. I don't think that is true for certain professions such as medical. I think people who go into medical field, most of the times they stay in medical for like doctors or something, because just looking at the figures of how much you actually spend to get that education, it's almost like you would have to work in that field in order to.
But you know, even these days, no one wants to be a doctor because of the new health plan.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, before people might want to be doctor for missionary work, but mostly it's for money. But now a lot of people don't even want to be doctor because they won't be making a lot.
How exactly does that work, the new
Since all of the health plan will be a lot of it will be subsidized by the government, there's actually not much motivation for people to become a doctor or whatever, anesthesiology or whatever. And what that results in, it actually took place in all over the world, like Canada or something. Canadians actually cross the border, come over to the United States to get healthcare. Reason why is because healthcare in Canada is not that great. And the reason why is because you go through all of that school, you go through all of that training, and in the end, you're not really, there's no motivation because everybody's put on kind of like a communist system where everybody's getting paid this way. And so what ends up happening is that there's no motivation for people to advance further in their healthcare. So the quality of healthcare can go down. Not only that, there'll be less people who actually want to be in the medical profession. But it's a little bit different in the United States, because think about this. One time I met a doctor who expressed his opinions about the Obama's health care plan. And he said this. Think about the people who actually passed these laws in Congress. Who are the people, majority of the people in Congress? What were their professions before they went into Congress?
Lawyers.
Yeah, they were lawyers. One of the big reasons why healthcare is so expensive in the United States is because of the foundation that was laid in this country, focusing upon the benefits of the people. I don't want to go too much into it, but then it basically allows people to sue whoever they want. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people actually took that to an extreme, and that they sue anybody. They sue everybody at any opportunity that they get. And so what do doctors have to do? In order to compensate for that cost of sewage, in order for the compensate the cost of all of that legal expense, they have to jack up the price of the health plans. Uh-huh. And so whereas in other countries you're paying like fraction of the cost, well, guess what? You're not suing them. You can't sue them if something goes wrong. In the United States, something's go wrong, you sue them. And so they raise up the prices, but now they can't do that. They can't do that, and so what ends up happening? They're government employees, in essence, and so they're being paid the same amount, and all of the legal expenses is still there. And so what they actually have, their prices go down, but then the legal expenses go up, and so they're left with a small margin of what they actually receive as profit. Mm-hmm. And so how many people would actually want to be doctors. And so forth? When in reality, who's still getting the benefit? It's the lawyers. And so, of course, people in Congress wouldn't care about passing this law because it's their own colleagues. So this is what's taking place in medical field.
Because, like you said before, a lot of people are looking at what school you went to or what you're majoring in and everything for a job these days. It's so competitive that it's even more stressful, and sometimes we don't really care what goes in our brain as long as it's just on our paper.
You know?
That's
like
true.
Biology, a lot of Christians take biology and they study big into evolution. But even though they don't really take it in their mind, they just want it for the paper, to be on paper. And that could be stressful because you know, I think if you're not interested in something, then you shouldn't really do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I...
No, like, for me, like, when I was in math class, it's like my least favorite subject. But when I was in math class, like, you know, you would learn these, like, graphs, and they go like this, and infinities, and logarithmic, and whatnot. And I'd be like, you know, for me, because I'm not interested in my, maybe I was thinking that way. I was like, will I really use this later on? I mean, like... Really? With, and then I see my mom and dad. I mean, they don't have a, like, profession as in, like, you know, professors or, you know, like, teachers or, yeah. I mean, who would be really using that? And I was like, what a waste of time. Why, really?
Like, I always wondered, like, okay, addition, subtraction. Of course you need that in daily life.
Yeah.
But I always wonder, like, will I really need to know, like,
because
Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah. Oh, those theorems, geometry. Okay. I mean, geometry is good. I'm not, you know, like learning shapes, how they work. That is good too. But I'm saying, like, staying overnight just to stress it, just to stress out and study about them and for the preparation of the test. That is.
Yeah.
That is not worth it, really, for me.
It's, okay, here's my take on it. I remember reading this one book. I forget the name. John Snyder was the name of the author, but then he wrote this book where he emphasized upon reading. And his theory, and I'm inclined to agree, his theory is that the best education that you can receive is an education that teaches you how to read. The reason why is because once you can read, and once you have a taste for reading, you can learn just about any kind of information that you want. You can get,
true.
Yeah, all of the information that you get from a college degree, guess what? You go to the local library, it's there.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're really interested in getting some kind of education, you know, you can pay for it with your library membership, or probably late expenses, because libraries are free. But usually the reason why people actually go to these schools is not to get an education.
Mm.
It's so that they can actually get the paperwork.
Yeah, and I question how our society is set up like that. Like, it is set up in a way that, you know, like, oh, what is it on my paper, you know? Like, rather than, like you said, you know, experience. And I could be, like, you know, maybe having like life experience more than like a Harvard graduate or something, but then they would more prefer her or prefer that person than me because I was not graduated.
Just because of the college
mate. And that's like, because that's what the society thinks, that's what the students think, and that's what the parents think, and everybody in the world thinks. That's why we go to school.
Exactly.
And it is, and for my dad, just to, you know, go back to your story, like, my dad, he was very smart in high school years, so my grandma expected a lot, but then he was like, you know, in his way, I think he was kind of like being rebellious too. You know, he's like, what am I gonna do if I go to college and, you know, like, if I get a good profession, like, you know, like, good job, like, what is it really gonna do? Is it gonna make me happy? That's what he said, like, to me. Is it really, you know, gonna give me happy? So he went to the way that, like, oh, I'm not gonna study anymore. But then he kept on reading.
Mm.
And then in the end, when he got a job, like, it was him versus, like, other people who graduated from college.
Mm.
He was way much more smarter and, like, in a knowledge-wise and intelligent than those people who graduated from college. So, like, you know, I agree that, like, reading is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take example of, like, SATs. Really, you study SATs.
These days, have to talk about that?
I know. It's just, yeah, even now thinking about it. But, like, like, these days, people prepare, students prepare when they're, like, 8th and 7th grade. For SATs,
like me.
And then for years and years they study this, and then after they're done with SATs, like, first of all, I don't think it's fair that they test you on how
test.
Much you know in just one test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also, when they after their study, are they really gonna remember or wanting to remember what they studied?
Mm-hmm.
Like after maybe a year or not even a year, they're gonna forget everything. They're gonna forget the vocab. They're gonna forget how to do certain problems.
It's not like just SAT. I'm telling you for every like just school test. Okay, I studied so much about this one subject, and then I took a test, and then next day I don't remember a thing.
That's the thing. Like I'm not against education at all. I'm all for education. I think education should mm-hmm. be emphasized, but then mm-hmm. the way that we emphasize it is tests.
Yeah.
As long as you accomplish mm-hmm. this test, then you can forget it from then on. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
But instead of taking that outlook on education, if we were to really say, okay, you need to know this, and if you really, you were talking about like Pythagorean theorems and all these logarithm things like that. They're very helpful, especially when it comes to science and things like that. They're very helpful and mm-hmm. it's very necessary. It's important for us to remember. But then if we are like other people who say, if we have the attitude of being like, when am I ever going to use this, then what good does that education really accomplish? All it does is go in through 1 year. It stays just enough for us to pass that test, but it goes right back out the other year.
And especially for us, since we're in a Korean culture,
yeah,
it's like more emphasized. Like, I know a lot of my Korean friends, they would just study like last minute and cram everything. And
we're good at that too.
They would do really well on the test and their parents would be so happy, but then they won't remember a thing. That's mm-hmm. like with me too. Like during homeroom time, I would just read through my notes and memorize that, and then when I take the test, bye bye.
You don't remember a single thing.
Anything. And especially for Korean parents, because we are good at studying, we get pushed more, I feel like.
Yeah. There's kind of a higher standard.
Yeah. I think I'm not supposed to talk about it, but I'll just say my friend. My mom was like being discriminated against my...
You just said.
You just said it.
Okay.
So who is it?
Okay, my brother. since you won't know my brother, I'm sorry. But he's a smart boy. He's a smart boy. I'm not just saying that, but I guess math is just not in our interest, you know? It runs in the family or something. But, my mom was like, you know, you're Korean. How can you make F in math? It's like, come on! It's like, and then she was like all being serious. It's like, oh, why? You know, you're Korean. And I was like, oh, just seeing that, it just makes me feel like, wow, I'm so glad that I'm not in that position.
But, you know, honestly, when we think about, like, I remember, especially with the economy today, a lot of people are actually saying, is college education really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with the economy going down, guess what? It's harder to find jobs.
Yep.
And so you go through education, in the end, you stack up all of these loans and all of these interests are still going up, and in the end, after you graduate, voila, you've accomplished, but then, hey, where's the job? Where's the money? How am I going to pay this off?
Not just that, like, many college graduates, like, if you go to, like, certain, like, career, like, nursing or, like, you know, what is it? Just something,
yeah.
Like, then I guess you could, like, have guarantee that you could get a job or...
You're supposed to be guaranteed.
Yeah, you're supposed to be guaranteed mm-hmm. that you could get a job, but not if it's not those kind of professions
mm-hmm.
that you're studying at, then I'm like, most of the people can't even find a job
yeah.
after they graduate. Mm-hmm. And I hear that and I see that and mm-hmm. witness it with my own eyes.
I heard a lot of people who after they graduate, they actually like take a year off
mm-hmm.
and then they get a job or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the expenses that they have to pay, all the loans that they borrowed mm-hmm. and all that. Like, they have
mm-hmm.
to pay all that back, but with what? How they're going to pay it off?
Yeah. You know, I was just reminded, because we're looking at this in the light of, is this God's will,
mm-hmm.
right? I just want to first clarify and look at the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I was just reminded of this text. I want to ask a question. Does God care about education or, about education? Is education part of God's plan? Does he even care about it at all? I would pose that yes, he does care. And this is one text that I want to base it on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and ultimately redemption. But included with righteousness, sanctification, redemption, there is something else, prerequisite,
wisdom.
So does God care about education? Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that God's plan of education is redemption, ultimately.
Can you briefly tell me more in detail?
If you look at like Old Testament, let's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy means the second law, the law repeated. Mm-hmm. And so what you see in chapter 5 is the Ten Commandments being repeated again, almost word for word. Mm-hmm. But then after chapter 5, chapter 6 comes down to say, verse 3, hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily at the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know that this is the quote that this is what Jesus quoted. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then he says this, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so, who were the children to learn from?
Parents.
Parents
are ultimate teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ultimately, in the end, God's plan was homeschool model. And so parents have the responsibility of teaching to their children, and they have the responsibility of teaching to their next generation, and so forth and so forth. This was the original model that God had created. Mm-hmm. Everything that concerns what they needed to know in life was taught down from generation to generation.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know about other cultures, but in Korean cultures, they say, like, 가정교육, which means, like, home education. Family education. And then, like, you know, school education. Like, those are two separate things, you know? Like, in home education, you must learn,
morals.
Morals, mm-hmm. Like, your morals.
Manners.
Manners, yeah. Etiquettes, mm-hmm. What did you say?
Common sense,
yeah, something like that. Like, relationships with people, yeah. Relationship with, mm-hmm. like, those kind of stuff, like. So, but here, do you know what God is talking about, like, when parents are saying, teaching children?
I'll give you a word illustration. I remember hearing this one parable, or this one something, where a college graduate, on his graduation day, he's all happy and everything, and he's being congratulated, and he goes to the president of the college and he says, wow, I've made it, I've completed my college education. And the president's response was, oh, is that right? Well, I've just begun mine. In other words,
who said that?
The president of the college said, I've just begun my education. While the little child was saying, hey, I've completed my education. So you can understand what he means, mm-hmm. is that education is progressive. There is no point in education where you say, oh, you can now begin your education, oh, you are now done with your education. At the moment, see, that's actually the mindset that I'm actually attacking and saying, this is the reason why we are having this kind of society. Is because we have the mindset that we are complete with our education when we are graduated. Mm-hmm. When in reality, education is progressive and you continue to learn, continue to advance. That was God's plan. God's plan is that education begins from the time that you are conceived in the womb. And from that moment on, it will continue until we're even in heaven. Will we be continuing to learn about God's love in heaven?
Yes,
absolutely, right? God's love is so infinite. God is infinite to the point that we will continue to advance in knowledge and understanding and experiencing God in heaven. So our education does not end
when...
Well, I think we have to be clear as Christians because what is education? What is true education?
Okay, yeah.
Because simply, like, if we talk about the secular part of the education, like learning knowledge of math and stuff, it could end, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you look at that point of view, like, I could stop learning what these graphs mean and stuff like that.
Yeah.
True. Because they go by subject yeah. and chapter by chapter.
I'll say that all that depends. Like, let's say that if I wanted to go into, like, medical field because I wanted to become a medical missionary or something, I would, of course, want to know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I would want to know what, if I'm going to cut somebody open and do something, I would want to know what's in there,
yeah.
right? So that's why I'm saying I'm not attacking education at all. I'm all for education.
Yeah. just off subject, but if a surgeon is operating on this person and if he says, "What is that?" I think people around him is gonna freak out.
No, like. I heard this joke. Like the scariest thing you could hear from the doctor is, "Oops."
Oh man.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I'm not for against education. Let's be clear on that. But then I will say, what your life calling in the biblical perspective, if you're looking at the perspective of what the will of God. Is, I would say there are four major decisions that we as young people have to make in our lives. Number one,
I heard this many times.
Yeah, I do say it many times. But number one is your decision for Christ, i.e. baptism. Your decision for Christ is probably the most decision that you will ever make. Number two, decision for your life calling. People are wondering, oh, what am I going to do after I graduate? What am I going to do in life? But once you after you've arrived there, you start looking, oh, what about your life partner? Who am I going to marry? What's my marriage life going to be? What's my family going to be like? Mm-hmm. Afterwards, if God calls you to it, to become a parent, if God calls you to become a parent, then you will have to bear a child. And that's another important decision that you have to make. But in young people's minds, first of all, we must get number one priority settled and foundation settled before we can make any decision after that. We have to make a decision for Christ. Because after you make a decision for Christ, your whole outlook on life will be totally different. What you want to do in life will be different.
I feel like people just get to the second step.
Yeah, or even the third. Actually, yeah. The way that I see it, they put it in reverse. They have a child first. They get into some kind of relationship and they have a child. And so, yeah. Oh, wait, what do I have to do? Now I have to marry this girl. And so they get married. Mm-hmm. And so now in order to support the marriage and the child, what do? They have to find a job. And so they go out for a life calling. They get this measly old job and they're really struggling. And they're really struggling in life. But eventually at the end, after they start to settle down, they say, oh, now I have some time, let's make our decision for Christ. And so the people get in reverse order a lot of times.
Exactly,
yeah.
Reverse.
Yeah. And so what we actually, if we are become a Christian, if we put things priority straight and we become a Christian and devote everything to God and say, my life is not my own. This is the life that I want to live. It is your life. If that is the attitude that we have, though, our whole outlook on life would be completely different. The way that we look at things would be different.
Amen.
So when we look at the second decision, what am I going to do for my life calling? What am I going to do in life? Well, that's going to be dependent upon priority number one. If you have committed your life to Christ, what you do in life, what you study, will be dependent upon number one, which is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
What is God's will? Individually. It may be different, but there is a global, universal truth of what God's will is. Number one, it's God's will that each one of us be saved. Individually. Individually, it's God's will that all be saved. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 3, 9. 1 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. Yeah, 2 Peter 3:9. Okay, so God wants everybody to be saved. Number 2, God wants others to be saved. And so guess what? Now that places a responsibility upon us. Not only do we have a responsibility of saving ourselves, but now we have a responsibility of saving our family members, of also reaching out to those who don't know Christ, of those who we come in contact with. And so God's will is, number one, that we know Christ, and number two, that others know Christ as well.
Mm. And that is a true education?
That's where true education comes along. Because...
Okay. So you're saying, what you were saying, like all those four things, you're saying basically that is true education, not education that you learn of things you know, like math, English, and all that, but true education is actually your lifestyle, your...
Exactly. That goes a little bit deeper into what I was planning to go into, but then since you brought it up, let's think about it this way. Which is higher, calling in your life here or your calling in life in heaven?
Should be in heaven.
Yeah, it's much more important for your preparation in heaven, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what would you rather have? Education for life here in the present world or education for life up in heaven? Much more important up in heaven, right? That's the kind of education that we should really be focusing on. And so if we're looking for preparation for life, I would much rather have education that prepares me for the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're looking at it in that perspective, education, of course, is not for this world here and now. A lot of people have pressure from the parents. Oh, you have to get a good job. Well, that's not what education is.
Mm.
Education has almost... True education, in essence, has nothing to do with what you do in life calling, for your life calling. That's just a means to the end. That's just your way to get to the ultimate objective, which is redemption, according to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're thinking
about... I think you have a lot of things or grudges or resentments in your heart or something. Calm down. It's okay.
Seems
okay
like you're talking
now
to your parents.
Yeah, I know.
Well, this is a really burden of mine because a lot of young people, when I used to go to college, before I decided to devote my life to gospel ministry, I was studying in college. I had this great ambition to go to this great college that has the highest suicide rate,
which is
Georgia Tech.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I can imagine the reason why they have the highest suicide rate is because this is just a little hint, but you could go in there any time in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the library. And it'll be just like broad daylight. You'll see students studying all the time. Never really see the library empty. Reason why? It's because there are people who get straight A's, and then they come to this great prestigious college. They say, oh, I'm going to get straight A's. And guess what? They get a C. And so they try and try and try, and they get a C. And then eventually, they try and try so hard, they eventually get a B. Well, what's going on in their mind? They're starting to get discouraged, and actually staying up all night and all that, it has a chemical effect upon your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plays the effect as well. But eventually they get depressed, and eventually they
want to kill them.
Yeah, they commit suicide. Well, I look at this, and I'm like, wow, what a life wasted.
Yeah.
If they had actually focused their energies on something else, something better, not on this present world, but if they focus their energies on the world to come, they wouldn't have wasted their lives like that.
Such a big gap.
I have a comment. You know, as a Christian, I always say it to myself too, because I'm speaking to myself. I want you to guys know, like, you know, we try so hard to prepare for the life here, you know. And many of the people we know that, you know, in college they stay up all night, and then they just, you know, even just high school, middle school kids
just get a good
stay
grade
up all night.
Grade.
You know?
Just to get a good
I need
grade
that. But like, do we put that much effort and time to prepare for heaven as Christians?
Mm. Mm.
And I always question myself, and you know, it's like, you know, are you trying, Hiju? Are you really trying? You know, like, I'm telling myself that.
I think you know, especially because the society is so into this world education that they tend to forget about the later in life, like in heaven education. And some people, you know, they're so focused on this day education that they're so desperate to just go to school. Even like, I know there's a lot of, there's a new thing called charter schools where you have to win a lottery to attend school. That's how much people want to go to school, but I don't think they understand that, you know, school isn't what it was supposed to be in the beginning. And because they forget about that, it's they end up just going for worldly pursuits. And you know, a lot of people say like, oh, I want to be a doctor because I want to be a medical missionary. Well, the truth is half of those people don't end up being a medical missionary.
Yeah, because they never have a time to spend time with God.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just all in studying. I remember when I had like finals exams, I never did daily devotion. And it was all about just studying. I felt like I never had time for God. Like studying was priority, which is not the right mentality at all.
Of course not.
Yeah. I remember making those same struggles. I had in one hand the Bible. I had just come to know Christ. Mm. I had in one hand the Bible, and literally I had in another hand my textbook. And I'm like, what do I do? I mean, I have to make a decision.
And it's not just a pressure from yourself or from parents, also from peers also.
Yeah.
Like, I heard Stephen, maybe you want to say it, but like from Stephen, like when he did not study at all, like just people will look down on him. But when he actually tried and made a good grade, you know, you told me like people will be like, you know, interested to talk to you or to get to know you more because you were making good grades.
Well, I don't know about good grades, but I felt better. Like when I didn't study, when I was focused on something else, I, you know, no one really cared if I was there, you know. It seemed like he's just the person, you know, because I was in like honor classes and AP classes, and they only care about competition, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are up in their level. Now, if I didn't study, they didn't care because I was down there, and he's like, it's just the person who, you know, who's not smart. And then, but when I actually made an effort, now I came up to their level, an even higher level than them, then they started to worry. Well, now they started to talk to me, like, just to get me, like, look through me, like, what kind of person I am and how I study and try to get more things out of me so they could be competitive with me. Now, that was surprising to me.
I thought it was more like, you know, yeah, that, I guess that's true too for my, but I guess my experience was a little different than like, if there are groups of friends, like if I'm just talking about high school, you know, like groups of friends who are like, you know, not trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are in for like, interested in like maybe music stuff, and,
yeah.
But when you actually get into like group of people who actually care about studying and the education,
going to good college,
yeah, going
stuff.
To good college, then you know, they accept you, then they're like, oh, you're one of us.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah.
There's a big group.
And, but now what I'm wondering is, you know, some parents, they don't have time to teach them their child basic reading, basic math. Which is something essential, I think.
Yeah.
So for parents like that, they have no choice but to send them to a school.
Yeah. And we may not be able to, because perhaps of lifestyle, foundation that have already been laid, be able to, like if we have a mortgage that we need to pay off and both parents have to work, that may be the case, then they obviously can't train their own child. But there are other alternatives, which actually very popular with, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. James Dobson, but he's very big into family. He has this great talk show, and he's very big into homeschool. Well, I think homeschool, he did a whole study on children who were homeschooled, and it turned out to be very great results. I think you can still homeschool your child, even with like alternative studies of they have like Abeka and they have other studies which are Christian based and which the child can actually they could either study for themselves with books or they could watch a video, which is essentially like being in the class. And the side benefit is that you don't get a lot of the negative peer influences, like it's peer pressure and drugs and so forth, that you actually do learn in school. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you want to send your child to hell, go send them to school. Because essentially that's what you learn. You learn about sex, you learn about drugs, you learn about all these things, not from the teachers, but from other children who actually see this in media or experience it themselves
and
or whatever.
And also, like, you know, I'm doing homeschooling right now, and content-wise, I was happy and surprised that in biology they give you an option to study evolution or not. And you know, even just content wise, I feel like it's a lot, they only give you stuff that's necessary, not other stuff.
And mm-hmm. We should focus our other attention to God and the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
remember like some classes I would just spend watching a movie or something, you know, and it's like waste of time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just remember something. My brother's doing homeschooling right now too, and then he's just staying home, and my mom kind of felt bad that he could not go to public school and make mm-hmm. any friends because he's just staying home alone because they go to work. So my mom asked him one day, like, oh, you know, do you want to go back to school? Do you want to go to public school? And then his reply was, it touched her heart.
His he heart, said, you mean?
No, oh, it touched her heart, my mom's heart.
Okay.
His reply, he said, Mom, can I just not do homeschooling either? My brother is amazing. just to give you a little laugh.
Wow. I want to go back to on that, the family who doesn't have time to teach the children. I think it's just because they don't need to spend that much time on work, really. Like, a lot of times I see that they're just because they want to have this car, they want to have this much money, that they are actually working that much to get that.
Yeah.
But they don't need that. So you could actually get a lesser job and teach your child and have more time.
But then there are people in like debt and stuff, you know, who
Yeah, except that I'm talking about mostly rich people.
But when we look at education and God's plan of education, God's plan, number one, is that we be saved, or we get to know Christ and that we are one with Christ. Number two is for others to be saved as well, for others to make it to heaven. When we think about what education really is, and if we are meeting those requirements, then we start to think about, is this really what God's plan is? Mm. And I think for those who are discerning and those who are questioning, I think, you know, there's that promise in the Bible that it says that God has a plan for us and that we will be able to find him if we seek him diligently with all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so if we really want to know what God's will is, whatever our current situation is, God will lead and God will direct in the exact specific individual decision that people have to make.
I think
we went actually a little over, but this is a topic that everyone needs to go through, especially young people. So let's always remember God is first.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go.